and Royals on Phoenix FM. She did rather well at the Grammys the other night. Kicked off the hour with the brand new single from Bombay Bicycle Club. That's called Luna, and it's out in a couple of weeks' time. Now, 10 minutes past four, it's the Phoenix FM Drive Show, and as always on a Wednesday, I'm joined by the editor of the Gazette, Nev. Good afternoon, Nev.
Good afternoon. Right? How you doing?
Yeah, not too bad, man. How's your week? All right?
Well, it's been a big, busy week for us, actually.
It all started. Was it last Thursday when this happened?
Yeah, so it's always sort of typically straight off.
Straight after.
With papers come out and stuff. The national media have been sort of have been down and all over this story. If anyone's unfamiliar with it, it's the the guy dubbed the Wolf of Shenfield.
Yeah.
Not entirely sure where that nickname came from. Probably the Sun. But anyway, yeah. So this chap, Robin Clark. I'm not going to go into some of the speculations about potentially why, but he was shot in the leg by a masked gunman. He parked up just up the road from Shenfield Station, walking down, and a guy was laying in wait for him. Jumped out, shot him.
I could not believe this. When I woke up to this news last Thursday, it's not something you expect to happen in Shenfield. Now, I used to work in Shenfield, just over the road from here, and lots of things used to happen, but nothing as severe as this.
Oh, it's off the scale, really.
Yeah, it's just something that you don't expect to happen on your own doorstep.
Absolutely bizarre.
But the gunman lay in wait, as you said, for him in the car park, shot the guy in the leg, Robin Clark, shot him in the leg.
Ran off. And the police are trying
wearing the balaclava, and he's still on the loose as well.
Oh, completely, yeah. I don't know what the police are up to, what the police have got so far.
Have we got an update from the police on this?
Well, no,
they've been pretty quiet.
They were due to be speaking to Robin himself, I think it was yesterday, or it's today, actually. No, it's today. He has been obviously talking, because he's talked to one of the nationals today.
Yeah.
It's just extraordinary, really. The morning it happened, fortunately, I was awake early enough to sort of get our first web story up, and it sort of exploded on our website. We had a huge number of visitors that day. We had about 25,000 or something like that, which is a lot for the Brentwood Gazette website. And that was just on the initial stories saying that it had happened. Of course, there were loads of trains delayed and stuff as a result, because Shenfield Station was closed temporarily. But the police were out the following two mornings, as far as I was aware. The Friday, and I think also the and on Monday as well, handing out sort of leaflets to asking for information from people. So I think we get occasional updates from them, but they're still very much looking for the for the shooter, and hope that they find him. But it all seems a little bit sort of, it's almost a bit gangland, isn't it?
It's all a bit organised.
Yeah. And you sort of wonder, this is a sort of seemingly a highly professional of hit.
Like you said, there's plenty of speculation about, and speculation comes with stories like these.
Oh, absolutely, of course it does.
But police are still looking for witnesses as well. So if you were in the Mount Avenue area at about 6:15 last Thursday morning.
So it was commuters, really.
Commuters. And I know myself, working just across the road there for a couple of years, that it is quite still busy at that time of morning. Still people heading off to catch their trains. So even if you heard something out of the ordinary, then get in touch with the police, it's a busy
commuter hub, isn't it, Shenfield? It's just down from Hutton Mount. There's lots of people work in the city who live around Shenfield. It's a lovely place. One of the funny things, actually, is that obviously Shenfield being in Brentwood, I would have thought that the nationals, certainly sort of the more tabloid ones, would have gone down the line of sort of shooting in Towie Town, that sort of thing. Because it's still part of, part of Brentwood.
Right.
It's just a sort of, a little part of it. But nevertheless, it's an unbelievable story. And we've got that covered in the paper this week.
Yeah, and also online as well. You've got a few more stories online.
We've been
particularly about how the gun victim, Robin Clark, saved a colleague during the September 11th attack.
Funny enough, a couple of on the anniversary of the Twin Towers attack, what was it? It was a couple of years ago. We managed to speak to her, and her name, forgive me, her name sort of escaped me.
Janice Brooks.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah,
one step ahead. And she gave us a really great account actually of what happened. And apparently he spoke to her on the phone and said, look, you know, just get out. It's I think it was one of the towers had been hit. And she was in the other one, or in fact her one had been hit, and she managed to get out from one of the staircases. So extraordinary story.
Still a lot to go in this story as well.
It will continue to unfold. Yeah. As I say, it's had so much national attention. It's a job for us actually when there is so much attention of it to try and sort of stay one step ahead of the nationals who can put big teams of people on it. And of course the numbers of people I think they can put on the story is the our entire news desk. But nonetheless, not going to complain. We're still looking for our sort of a little exclusive on this, and we'll see that we can get it. I popped down there myself actually on Thursday morning, sort of couldn't resist really, just to sort of remind myself what it's like standing around out at a police line with not being told very much and just sort of loitering with a bunch of photographers and a chap from the BBC actually. So that was quite a sort of trip down memory lane for me.
Well, but, we do wish Robin Clark well.
Yeah, we wish him well and his
family too, absolutely. We're going to take a break. We're going to play some Haim. When we come back, are we all right to talk about the Tower Arms now, or is this a story that we're still avoiding talking about?
I think it might be one that we give it a miss.
We give it a miss again. So we'll come back and we'll have a look at more stories from today's Brentwood Gazette.
The Phoenix FM Drive Show with St Francis Hospice. Proud of the past, dedicated to the future.
And Nev Wilson still joins me in the studio. Nev is from the Brentwood Gazette, and every Wednesday we take a look through the current edition. And now some of your more feel-good stories from the paper this week, Nev. Beginning on page 3 about a young lad of 16... on his birthday, on his 16th birthday, took a solo flight.
Yeah, I mean, what an extraordinary story.
You've got to have balls to do this, especially at 16.
Yeah, I mean, the youngster, Dylan, wants to be a fighter pilot one day. And, you know, great on him. I mean, it's amazing. But yeah. We think he's the youngest person to have done this. Because he's doing it on his 16th birthday, and I think there may well be other people at 16 who've done this. However, doing it on
his
16th
birthday. But he did it. Yeah, he did it the first possible opportunity he could, right?
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. Yeah. It's absolutely amazing. His big passion one day would be to own and or fly a Spitfire at least. But that's probably quite a different plane to the one that he's used to. I think he's got a Cessna 152. So I don't know, my uncle flies planes, and it all looks pretty complicated. I've been up there with him. It's pretty complicated, pretty scary. So this young lad's doing
and
it on his own,
especially in these smaller planes as well, right? It's like when you go on holiday, you're in a big plane, and if you haven't got a fear of flying, you don't kind of generally feel like you're in a plane.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, have you been in one of these small planes before?
No.
Yeah, no. It's kind of you get a bit of turbulence when you're on a big plane, and it can be a bit shaky. But because these don't get that high, you kind of feel every single bit of breeze, bumps, and everything. And it can be quite sort of nail biting. We've not really had the greatest of weather recently as well. So the fact that he's done it is all the more extraordinary. And I say it's quite a complex thing because you've got to be in communication with the air traffic controls from around the area and not go into other sort of air spaces that you shouldn't. So
Fair play to him. A great career ahead of him. Page 3. I would have loved to have at that age gone, I want to fly a plane for a living. I want to be an RAF pilot.
What an ambition! Yeah,
absolutely.
I wish at his age I had actually knew what I wanted to do.
It took
me another 10 years before I worked it out.
I still don't know what I want to do
exactly. Yeah. He's a Brentwood School lad, and Brentwood School have come out fourth best in Essex on the school Department for Education have released the sort of the performance of all the schools across the country.
And this list came out last Thursday, right?
Yes, it did. Another convenient day for us, but we did get it up on our website. So the entire list stuff on the website. We've pulled out the sort of local schools. Yeah. Brentwood School come out top. In certainly one particular category, which is the average point score per A-level entry. They top the table for the GCSEs as well.
Are these valued by schools?
Well, this is it, actually. I mean, there was a bit of discrepancy, actually, over this, because we ended up having a bit of a two-way conversation between Ian Davies and Michael Sullivan of St Martin's School, who were actually ranked first in the borough on a different measure, which was average point score per full-time equivalent A-level student. The difference between those is quite minor, really, but I think Micah Sullivan, Ian Davis is sort of cases that lots of schools will bundle extra subjects in, like, for example, general studies, which was what I did, and it was a complete waste of time.
Yeah.
If there was a subject disguised,
like,
that was it.
Is that like PCH? E.
Oh, I don't even know.
I had a few subjects, just filler subjects, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I think it was a double period a week when I did it, and we gave it. I think no one in the school gave it any sort of value at all.
Social studies, that's another one.
Yeah, it was just one of those things. Some schools obviously do value it. I think you can. Yeah. I seem to remember. I mean, some of our reporters are quite young, actually, and I think Matt.
They're all young.
About 22.
Yeah.
I think he's 20. Maybe he's 21 actually, but. He said he could do an AS in it, because it wasn't so long ago that he was doing them himself. Anyway, a bit of discrepancy over what the best measure of pupils is. But I think the overarching kind of message to take from this is that
Brentwood schools are doing really well.
Brentwood schools are doing really well.
Yeah.
And we, compared to Essex, are doing particularly well.
Yeah.
So I think, big up to all the hard work that's done to the...
love the fact you're picking up.
Big up all the head teachers and
big
the staff
up the schools.
There. And of course the pupils, there's a lot of work. I think youngsters get a bit of a hard time, because the government we've had two governments, haven't we?
Yeah.
In recent history, and changes are made at the top, which filter down, and then it's the kids who actually end up having to sort of at the sort of hard end of it, and actually sort of see those changes come through in the way that they have to study and sort of revise and stuff. So well done to Essex, and it's great that we are living in Brentwood, where we can be confident that our schools are top performers.
And lastly, because we're running out of time, my favourite story from this week's Brentwood Gazette on page 11. It's about how one of the workers plays soothing music on a CD player to give the animals a mood boost.
Yeah, well, this is some of the horses up at Remus Horse Sanctuary. Some of them are very nice.
Yeah.
I feel soothed already. Actually, some of the horses up there.
Westlife's flying without wings on panpipes. What more can you ask for on a Wednesday?
Horses cannot fly as well. Yeah, so that's great. Some of the horses come to them, and some of the animals as well. Come to them from some sort of difficult circumstances, and. And I think they found a way that sort of can calm the animals down.
Yeah.
It's great. I'm sort of wondering what sort of some of the songs are on their sort of hit list. I think it's sort of more classical bits and pieces, but soothing music, panpipe moods, that sort of thing, I'm sure.
Well, you can use this if you want. I reckon I'm going to go home tonight and just put this on loud.
I'll take a copy of that
for
the newsroom when we're having our sort of more stressful deadlines.
Lovely.
See if we can take the edge off it.
And Nev, thanks again for joining me. Back next Wednesday.
Oh, of course, as always.
Perfect.